I wanted to mention, I forgot to say anything about Dawn Dandy. She did have surgery today, and it all went well, and she just has a little bit of pain. This coming Sunday will be her last Sunday, as a member of Massillon Baptist Church. She may come on Wednesday to listen to the days, but will be her last Sunday. She sold her house. She's moving downstate, get closer to medical, larger hospitals and what have you, I believe, and for work purposes. And so she's moving on the 28th of this month, of Friday. It's going to be during the afternoon, and even in the evening, she needs help loading her things into a U-Haul that she'll have. And if you can help with that, or you'd like to, and just go and help for a couple hours there to help get her all loaded up, please let me know that so I can kind of take a head count of who would be able to go. And then we can either take a van from here and drive over to her place, or you can just drive your own vehicle. But if you're interested in helping out somebody in need, let me know about that, if you would. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, let's go ahead and we'll open them up. You can hold them up, too, if you want. Amen. It's normally our Friday, our Sunday night routine, but I don't mind holding God's Word up anytime. Amen. So open up to the book of Hebrews tonight. What a passage of scripture this is here. In verse 6 of chapter 11 in the book of Hebrews, the Bible reads, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." We have to come to God, and we have to have faith. The Bible says right here, without, meaning apart from, or without any, or being separated from faith, it's impossible to please him. And faith here, of course, is our belief, but it's a conviction too, one that moves us and one that grips us and says, hey, God is real. We're to believe in what the Bible says about him, and know that God moves in mysterious ways, wonderful ways, and powerful ways, and that our God lives. He's the eternal, almighty, powerful God. This passage of scripture tells us without faith, it is impossible. This idea of impossible means if we don't have faith in God, we're impotent. You know, I've had people come to my door, and they'll knock on the door, and they've got their Bible that they use, and it's a Bible that is in error. And they bring their religion to the door, and they knock on, and they want to tell me about their religion and about their God. And sometimes they say that the same God that I have is their God. And then as soon as they open their mouths, I say, well, I never even read that before in the Bible. But they think that they have faith in God, but they have their faith in something, but it's not God. And so their faith is amiss. The God that we're talking about here is the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac and all the Old Testament fathers, as well as the New Testament apostles. Think of Paul and John and Matthew, Luke, all of them. This is their God, and we can, when we come to him, we can expect him to look in our hearts and see that we have faith in him, that he really is who he says. Why come to God and pray to God? You know, I've heard some say that they're praying to God, or they know somebody else that's prayed for God. And I wonder, because of the person, I say, well, I don't know who they're praying to. Are they praying to the God of the Bible or something else? I'm not really sure, because I've never seen in their lives any evidence of it being the God of the Bible that they were praying for. The Bible tells us that God makes a distinct difference between those who call upon him as God and between those who don't. And so we know that we have to come to him in faith It's impossible. It's powerless and weak for us to come to Him. We cannot please Him if we do not have faith. And so this is a real powerful one verse in this chapter here, and it really helps us expand on all the examples that Paul gives to this Hebrew body of people that he is writing to. He talked to Abraham, he talked to Isaac and Jacob here, or mentioned them here. He talked about Sarah, and he's talked about others, talking about them and their faith in God. This is called the chapter of faith, or the hall of faith, this Hebrews chapter 11. And we've looked at Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. I'm just going down the list here in chapter 11. And then I think it was last week we looked at the walls of Jericho, how they fell down by faith. And then Rahab, she helped out Joshua and the others by faith, is what the scripture says. And so it's been a pretty interesting chapter. I've really enjoyed looking individually at each of these people in here and knowing that they were people just like you and me. And they loved God. And they had faith in Him. They believed that He was who He said He was. And as a result of that, they got themselves in here. It's pretty incredible. Look with me tonight at verse 32. And what shall I say, or more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets. Father in heaven, we praise You and thank You tonight. I ask that You might help us as we look at this passage of Scripture here for just a few minutes to encourage us. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is faith. And Lord, so I ask that You magnify our faith here tonight, that You will strengthen us in our faith, and that You will guide us by a faith in You and trusting that You really are God, the living God of all eternity, the Ancient of Days. And Father, we look to You, asking You to help our faith and strengthen it in You. And tonight, may that begin here as we look at this passage of Scripture. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we see here in verse 32, here Paul's running out of things to say because there's so many others in the Bible he wanted to mention. But he does give a nice little list here in verse 32. He said time would fail him to tell of Gideon. Well, it won't fail us. We can talk about it a little bit, okay? Because he's one in the hall of faith as well. Now this Gideon, he's quite the character. I wrote down in some of my notes here, I call him a plucky deliverer of Israel from the marauding Midianites. And he battled with them for God's sake. He got involved with that battle with them. His hand-picked crew, remember he had 300 commandos who God said, you go select yourself some men, and it ended up being the three who lapped the water like a dog in their hand and drank it. Excuse me, all the others were rejected, and these 300 were selected for Gideon. And so he went on with them and was victorious in battle. And he also punished the villages of Penuel and Succoth, who had sneered and refused food to Gideon's men. I remember when that happened to David as well. One time his men were told they couldn't have any food. Why would the man give him food even though he had ample food to give them? And he almost lost his life as a result of that. But here Gideon had to deal with this as well. He ruled as a judge over the tribes and their clans for 40 years. Maybe you don't remember that about Gideon, but he was in the book of Judges. He was a judge for 40 years. Remember, they didn't have a king. For a long time, they had these judges, and then it developed into kings. Now, I want you to turn back to Joshua chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Comes right after Joshua. Really, in Judges chapter 6 through verse 8, this is a whole story about Gideon. I mean, a man has two chapters here in the Bible after him. And no wonder Paul said, you know, there's a whole lot of other things he could have said about this man in all the stories that are so condensed here. There's so much information there about this man, Gideon. In chapter 6 and verse 11, starts out like this. Oh, let me see. It's sticking together on me here. There we go. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Huh, have you ever said that? Have you ever heard somebody say that? If God is such a good God, then why does he allow this to happen? If God is real, then why is all this going on around here? Yeah, human nature doesn't change, does it? And he says, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Why me, Lord? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? Well, what Gideon is saying is what a lot of people say today. Will you really believe all those stories in the Bible? Why isn't he doing it now? And they try to discredit what the scriptures say. Folks, it's impossible for us to please God if we don't have faith in his word. That's where this is all leading to. Now, this is Gideon. He's named in the Hall of Faith, but at first he's saying these things. So if you've ever said that before in your own mind, well, cancel that out and say, you know what, Lord, I got to correct that thought because it's not a good one. And he says, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Oh boy, Gideon. And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Well, I might as well not even try because I'm a nobody. I tell you what, God's a somebody. And there's a lot of nobodies in this room here, but if you let God get a hold of your heart, you'll be somebody in God's hands. It's just how it is. Before him, what are we? We're like filthy rags. That's what our righteousness is like. But with him, when God, if he's going to get a hold of you and you're going to let him use you, he's going to bless you. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, I will tarry until thou come. And so, you know, Gideon goes, and he makes a kid, and he does all that stuff. And he believes in the Lord, of course, because the Lord had to show him a sign. How many of you need a sign? Jesus said, blessed are they, you know, who don't get those things and believe without seeing. And so you and I, the scripture tells us that the just shall live by faith. We shouldn't have to see a sign or anything like that. We already got God's word. It's a sign, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, we have his word, and that's all we need. In verse 25 it says, And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, this is his first mission, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. And so the altar of Baal, this was just demon worship is what this was to be torn apart. Gideon, get in there and do this. Just tear it down. And he says, and build an altar unto the Lord in its place, of course, thy God, upon the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. I like this passage because we can make it real personal. If we've got a statute of Baal in our own hearts, anything standing between us and the Lord is in the way. It needs to come down. And we need to give the God praise. We need to worship Him. Take everything else out of the way so there's nothing between us and the Savior. And God then will be able to bless us. Now, look ahead in chapter 24. Judges 24. Whoop. No, wait a minute. Judges chapter 6. I meant verse 37. Here in verse 37, you remember this story, I'm sure. It says, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. Think about your own salvation. The Bible doesn't say that God's going to do this, this, and that to get you to believe. When you hear the word of God, you hear it, it goes down in your heart, and it works on you. And then you place your faith in Christ. You say, you know what? I believe exactly what that says, and I place my faith in Christ. It works like that, but it's always amazed me how some of these Old Testament characters, and you know, I'm not saying anything against Gideon because he's in a hall of faith. Praise the Lord for that. But it's almost like he's tempting the Lord with these things, and we know we don't want to tempt the Lord, right? And he says to him, and it was so in verse 38, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry, only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on the ground. You know, we could say, okay, Gideon, so, you know, God really had to work there and do all the things you want. It's kind of like Moses, but let's give him some credit here. God was calling him to do a big thing. And he said, well, I'm going to die anyway because of what I got to do to go fight against these people. God, if you really want me, because he had a low self-esteem, if you really want me to do this, you're going to have to show me some stuff. You know, today I say to you, if you're here and you've got low self-esteem, hey, think of how God sees you. When God looks at you, he sees you a whole lot different than you see yourself. There are a lot of people go around, they're wandering about, and they think, well, you know, I don't have this, I don't have that, and well, you know, this is wrong, and that's right, or God doesn't care about me because of this, and they get themselves all tied up in a knot of despair. And what God wants to do is untie that and say, hey, I'm God. Let me tell you how I see you. And when God begins to tell you how he sees you and how he loves you and how he has the fruit of the Holy Spirit for you to enjoy in your life and you know, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and on and on and on, it's like, oh my goodness, can I kick myself and say, wake up out of that bad dream and start thinking like God thinks about you and your potential And when you do that, things will happen. God will richly bless you. Gideon here was an example of that. I had another passage here on him, but we won't look at that. I'm going to move on here. We remember who Gideon is. He was a man of faith, and he trusted in God. He had to prove God in a couple of things, and I don't think it was a lack of faith. I think it was more proving God that, wait a minute, is, you know, I'm going to do this, me? And God had to show him, just like he did Moses, how he needed to trust fully in God. And so, back here in verse 32 of Hebrews 12, and what shall I say, or more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, not Barak like Barak, our past president, but because his name was spelled B-A-R-A-C. Okay, I believe, a different spelling. But this Barak is a biblical man. He was a member of the tribe of Naphtali, and he was summoned by Deborah. She was one of the judges or the rulers during this time of Israel in one of the sections there. And after they had entered into the Canaan land, and he was ordered to head a punitive raid against Sisera, an obnoxious and dangerous Canaanite chief. And Barak's successful exploits were celebrated in the famous song or ode in Judges chapter 5. And he's mentioned here because he was faithful. That's somebody we probably don't even say, who is that? What's he doing in there? Well, God doesn't leave us empty-handed here. We can go, I don't want to look at it tonight, but it's in Judges chapter 4 and verse 5, where it talks about this man and the works that he did. Now, I said you probably don't even know who this man is. You know who Gideon is. You've heard those stories, I'm sure. But the children's books don't talk about Barak here, at least not at length, and because nobody knows who he is. Let me just say this. This man was a faithful man. If you're here tonight and nobody knows who you are, but God knows that you're faithful, is anything more important than that? Nope. Just do what you feel God is leading you to do according to his word. Be faithful. And God is going to bless you. We'll come back to these other names next time. It's after 8 o'clock, and so I want to close. Father,